Okay, so the reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're doing from verse 54 to 61. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him and keep the commands, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. And may these words of mine, which I've prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time."
Good morning. Now, this first little bit of the talk is a sort of a recap as to what's been going on. Now, you need your Bibles open, so if you have got a Bible or you're at home, please do open them, but we will put things on the screen as well to help. Now, the situation is that David had captured a city of the Jebusites, that was built on top of a mountain, Mount Zion. Now, there on the map you can see. Now, his son Solomon built the temple on top of the next door mountain, Mount Moriah. And gradually the city extended. And he built that about 950 BC. You know, Mount Moriah is very important, because it was on that mountain that Abraham took his son to offer as a sacrifice, as a reminder this is what God was going to do for us. Well, on top of Mount Moriah was a bit of bare open rock. It's still there. And that bare bit of rock, it was flattened off a bit, that became the center of the Holy of Holies of the temple. And you can still see it. It's the ark was placed on the rock. Now, when the temple was commissioned, Solomon summons all the leaders, all the peoples of Israel, to come together to celebrate this opening of his new temple. It wasn't as big as the later temples, but to do this, just as we did in our service, Solomon started off the proceedings with a long prayer. And what I'd just like to do, it talks about God. Now let's see what this prayer starts off. The first thing is that God is great, God is magnificent. And the important thing is that this is the same God that we have here. It's the one true God. You know that song, "My God is so great"? So, what's it go? My God is so great, so strong and so mighty. Well, that's my first heading. Look at verse 23. O Lord, the God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. We have this same God, the God who made the world and all of us in it, although we can't see him, is very real. He's very powerful. The reason we sin, we do things that displease God, is because we forget God. It's always the same. So in his first bit of his prayer, says God is great, he's magnificent. God is faithful. Look how often it says this. Look at verse 23, 24, 25, 26. He keeps his promises. He kept his promises. He's made his promises. And he will keep his promises. Where do we find these promises? They're in the Bible. Jesus himself said, Scripture cannot be broken. It's a key feature of being a Christian, is the people of the book. Our magnificent God keeps his promises he's given us in the Bible. It's been rightly said, men don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts us. The next bit in Solomon's prayer is that God listens. I went between verses 23 and 53 and counted the number of times it comes that God hears. Something that you might like to do when you get home. I counted 12. When we pray, when Christians pray, God hears. He doesn't hear people who are not committed to him in the same way. So, God is great. God forgives. This is a major feature of Solomon's prayer. Look at 8, 35 to 36. When there's no rain, the reason? The problem is sin. Your people pray. Not anyone. God's people pray when there are problems. And they turn from their sin. And then you hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants. It's a wonderful God, isn't he? Look at 39 and 40. This is relevant to us. With COVID-19. When there's famine or plague. It wakes God's people up to what's wrong in our hearts. And they pray. And Solomon asks God for this forgiveness and for God to act. And this is the message of the whole Bible. God is gracious and always forgives those who genuinely turn back to God. It's the same God in the Old Testament as in Jesus. Look at the last bit. God is everywhere. This is interesting. Because Solomon built the temple, some people thought, for God to live in. Of course not. It's a symbol of God living with his people. Out of the 12 references to God being a hearing God, if you look at them, the last six say where God listens from. Not from the temple. He listens from heaven. That's where God lives. Do you want to know one other fascinating feature of this long prayer? Look at 8:27, would you? But will God really dwell on earth? How can a great big God who's made the universe live on earth? God's represented by this temple, but he doesn't live there. He lives in heaven. But one day, Solomon foresaw that he would come and really dwell on earth. And that's when the Lord Jesus did come and live on earth. Well, I hope you've got some good answers from that. What does it mean to be devoted to God? Because here, Solomon, now you notice when he was praying, do you see in 54, he was kneeling. But now he stands up and he talks to the whole assembly of Israel, all of God's people. And it's a wonderful reminder about what it means to be devoted to the Lord God. Now, the celebration that was going on because of the dedication of this temple was a time to remember who God is and what he's like. And we've just seen that. We've seen that he's a great God. He's the same God. He's faithful to the promises he's given us in the Bible. He listens to his people. He forgives all our sin if we genuinely repent and turn back to him. And yet, he was to come and dwell on this earth. Now, just open your Bibles again, would you, at 1 Kings 8. We're looking really at 56. And let's see how we should respond, how all people should respond to this God. Now, 56b. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Now, we've got those promises that Moses gave us in the first five books of the Bible, where he edited them. So my first point is that if we're one of God's people, we must devote ourselves to God's word. Daily reading of the Bible, studying it, understanding it, is so important. And this is why all Christians should be having a time each day where the families get together, have a Bible time. If that's drifted, start again. John Bunyan, you know, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he spent 12 years in Bedford Prison. Why? Because he couldn't help telling people what was in the Bible. And he said, I was never out of my Bible. It's so easy to let computers, televisions, Xboxes take over and spend much more time doing that than understanding how God wants us to think. John Wesley, you know, who started the great Methodist Reformation in this country. I'm a man of one book, he said. Some years ago, there was a man who was severely injured in an explosion at work. He lost both his hands and he was blinded. But he'd just become a Christian and he longed to know what God teaches us. Well, he heard of a man who was able to read the Bible in Braille on his lips. So he obtained a Bible in Braille, but then he realized that his lips had been completely numbed by the explosion. But he made a discovery. His tongue wasn't. So this dear man learnt to read his Bible with his tongue. It meant so much to him. The first point then is that Solomon wants us to know, and God wants us to know, is Christians, God's people, are devoted to God's word. Now the next point, 58. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him, and keep his commandments, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. Now, as you've seen, God doesn't change, not the real God. How he wants people to live doesn't change either. He longs for us to devote ourselves to God himself. Do you remember the time when you became a Christian? When you said to the Lord, you are my God, I'm going to follow you, thank you for forgiving me. That time when the creator of this world becomes my Lord, and I'm now set on a course, not just of reading God's word, but now to obeying it. A Christian can say, whatever their feelings are, I'm here for the Lord Jesus, to follow him. Well, didn't Jesus say just the same? Yeah, wonderful chapter, John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we're not just to be people who know the Bible. We've got to obey it, to live by it. I love those little picture boards outside churches. You know, they have cartoons or messages on them. And one of those messages outside the church said, what part of the thou shalt not don't you understand? You know those little rubber bracelets that used to be a generation or two back? WWJD. what would Jesus do? We are committed to living as Jesus wanted. So, we're devoted to the Word, and we're devoted to God himself to obey him. Right, next one, 59. May these words of mine that I had prayed before the Lord. Dear Solomon, you can see from the first bit of this chapter, he's a man of prayer. And that's another mark of a Christian. Devote yourself to prayer. John Bunyan again, he realized prayer makes a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. It's true. We all know and we teach our children there are three sorts of prayer, aren't there? There's thank you prayers, there's sorry prayers, and there are please prayers. We never grow out of that. Always starts with sorry. Right, let's move on. People of prayer. We're still looking at the marks of God's people. Now look at verse 60. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and no other. What's that about? The people of the earth must hear this message. There it is in the Old Testament. God's people are meant to be a missionary people. We're devoted to evangelism. There's another billboard that went up outside the church. Christians, keep the faith, hyphen, but not from others. It's good, isn't it? It's so easy to see if someone is aflame for Christ. What's the feature of a piece of paper that's on fire? Bring anything near it, and what'll happen? It'll catch a light again. It spreads. Fire must spread, or else it'll go out. And one of the features with post-COVID-19 that we've really got to learn is to talk about the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, the faith will die out. A fire always burns. We're devoted to evangelism. Now, look on to the next one. Solomon summarizes the response that God wants to see in each of us. Look at 61. This is well worth learning. And may your hearts, Solomon saying to all the people, be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands. What a summary. God wants all of us to be fully committed to the Lord our God. I still do, the day when, in my first year at university, I knelt down by my bed and asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life. I was interested reading this week of Daniel. You know, Daniel also made a decision one day. This is what it says in Daniel. The angel of the Lord was talking to him. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Daniel had a day when he set the course of his life to be God's person. There was a missionary who went to a tribe in the Brazilian jungle to tell them about the gospel of Jesus. He held meetings every Sunday, and the whole village came together, and he taught them from the Bible. After several months, the message had dawned on the chief, and he stood up, walked to the front of this group and said to the missionary, I now understand who Jesus is. I want to give him a gift. And he gave the missionary some money. The missionary thanked him, but explained that that wasn't what God wanted. Well, the chief went back, but the following week he also attended the service and he made a big decision. This time he went forward with his favorite wife. "I want to give what I love most to God." The missionary again thanked him, but sent both of them back to their seats. "That's not what God requires," he said. The third week, the chief again stood up, and this time he walked to the front, seemingly with nothing. And he said this, "I now understand Jesus wants my heart. I give myself to him, to follow him for the rest of my life." And the missionary then embraced the chief and said, "Welcome." Isn't that lovely? Look again at 61, would you? Solomon says, "God says to me and to you, to every one of our family and friends," I suppose it's an appeal. "And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands." May this be true for all of us if we're listening. But it's not just committed. You notice it says fully committed, devoted to living for the Lord Jesus who saved us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that way back here in the Old Testament, we have this same simple gospel that you, the God who lives in heaven, is going to come and live on earth and to be the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Son of God, just like Abraham was going to offer Isaac. Lord, please help us to respond to this message, to fully commit ourselves, to be devoted to you. Lord, help us to be committed as well to passing this on to other people so that they also may know how they can be right with you. For Christ's sake, amen.